301st birthday!
We've not.
Jen still can't do it properly. Paul has hung on to the party.
Party's still going.
Woo! We're still drunk. You know what I really wanted?
When are we not?
You know what I really wanted as a and still want as a movie banter podcast opening theme. You know, we've dabbled occasionally in the idea of having music themes. Yeah. But it was the one you put on your Facebook wall of the 20th Century Fox theme.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Done on the flute.
It's brilliant.
Oh, I don't know
if we can get the rights for it. I don't know if we'd be allowed to do it.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually.
Probably get away with it.
If nothing else, we can just link it.
Can I play it in now? Is that
going to
allowed?
Hear it?
No, try not. I'll edit it in. Yeah.
Is it going to be a rights issue? We can't do it.
It's probably, but they should be right.
It's free.
I'll edit it in now.
Opening every week, because I think that sums up perfectly. It's clearly about films, but it sounds a bit crap.
There can't be any sort of infringement because it doesn't sound anything like it.
No, but you can hear the thing over the top.
It's just
can't imagine.
You can't.
We're low level enough. But also, it's fair use because now we're talking about it,
exactly.
Which makes it more. Well, put it this way: if anyone who owns the right objects and has any objections, then please let us know. We'll edit it.
They can have a percentage share of our profits.
Absolutely, I can give them.
Or if anything, but then that means they need some of the costs as well, and it's mostly costs.
Well, we'll charge them.
Yeah, we'll charge them.
We'll send them an invoice. The 20th Century Fox.
It's a plan with no drawbacks.
Yes. If there are any legitimate concerns, then we can get it down and a cease and desist, and we'll get it off. But otherwise, it's just enjoy.
There you go. That's our new opening theme every week.
Really?
I'm almost tempted to use it, actually.
Oh, please.
Well, if you're very good.
Please. I have Gemma Arterton.
If you're very good and review well this week the films that are known as Super 8, The Inbetweeners, The Tree of Life, and Horrible Bosses, then maybe.
Good memory.
That's good. While I'm getting in what we're talking about.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But that's our film discovery of the
Yes.
movie, which is phenomenal.
So who are we going to start with today, then?
I think you should start.
This week, I have been seeing lots of films.
Well done.
And,
she's wet herself.
You can tell it's summer holidays. This is what I did on my holiday. I was off to
the cinema a lot.
It was very good.
And then I did this, and then I saw Super 8.
Oh, you're underage to go and see Super 8.
Is it 12?
No.
It
should be.
It's an 8.
It's 8.
Yes. Anyway.
Well, Super 8, of course, being Latin for over 8.
Well done.
Super 8.
Super, as in over. And 8, as in 8.
Yeah. Anyway.
Meanwhile, back at the film.
Yes. This is J.J. Abrams' latest film.
Now, he directed it, didn't he?
Yes.
Very confusing.
I feel he's done loads of stuff. He really hasn't. He's directed 3 films, including this one.
Well, also, because it's kind of a Spielberg... is involved as well producing.
Yeah. Mm.
And you never, with Abrams and Spielberg, they both kind of, they weigh in, they weigh out. You never know who's directing,
who's
producing.
There's like Cloverfield, I thought was J.J. Abrams, but no, I think it's Matt Reeves.
I thought that was
Abrams as well.
Yeah, but it's not. No, it's produced by, and sort of heavily steered by.
Mm.
I think J.J. Abrams was to Matt Reeves, if it was Matt Reeves, as Spielberg was to J.J. Abrams.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of influence.
Yes.
But it's still not.
So is this more like Spielberg's pet?
J.J. Abrams is Spielberg's pet, yes.
Yeah.
Keeps him in the corner, on a leash.
No, I mean Super 8, because watching it, I can see
it's very Spielbergian.
It's a love child, isn't it?
Well, I can't tell whether that's J.J. Abrams working with Spielberg going, and I'm going to put this in just for you. Because there's a lot in there that looks like it's a tribute to Spielberg,
yes.
As well as Spielberg weighing in.
There's a lot of E.T.-ness going on.
A lot of close encounters, a lot of all that stuff. A lot of Amistad. Not so much Amistad.
Not so much Amistad. But the basic premise is, small town, kids... filming, making a film,
during
and then
summer
a train projects. Crashes, yes, and a train crashes, and something escapes.
Maybe.
And then weird stuff starts happening in town, and the kids investigate, because they're kids, and that's what they
that's
do.
That's what kids do. I think we should probably be fairly vague as to what happens after the train crash.
Yes.
Yes. But it's sort of on the backdrop of all these little growing relationships.
Yes, it's a very sort of semi-coming-of-age.
Yeah.
A little bit E.T.-ish in that respect. Very strong,
easy
though.
Yeah,
and Stand By Me, I thought as well.
So,
neglectful father, which is Spielberg all over.
Father son type of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of almost looks like it's almost a pastiche of Spielberg in a way, but without the comedy.
Which sounds damning, but it's also, it's quite schizophrenic In the trailer, and the trailer implies this, but the film, I thought the trailer would sort of imply, oh, a few family-friendly scares. But then most of it's the coming-of-age thing. And it's properly, there are moments of, a, kiddie bonding, and there's moments of proper jumping.
Yeah, there are big scares, aren't
whoa,
there?
Whoa, yeah.
That's why I think my main problem with this film is I don't know who it's aimed at, because
modern
kids are kind of not going to get the Spielberg references and that sort of stuff, and will maybe think it's a bit old-fashioned. And yet there are some big scares that are clearly not aimed at kids.
Yeah.
Is it aimed at our generation?
It's very bloodless. It's not so gory.
No.
But it is very... I mean, I'm fairly sure it's that tense. Younger children would find it properly scary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I think
and not necessarily all Doctor Who. Mm. I mean, properly scary. Mm.
I think you're right. I think it's actually mostly at us. The childhood kiddie connection... Sounds odd. It's actually more to do with playing on our nostalgic
because it's set in 79, so it is, you know, so it is very exactly our generation. Yeah. Oh, actually, well, no, in fact, it would be slightly older than us.
Yes, exactly. But we can sort it. It's not
it's so defined
that you know you feel like you can't relate.
The main quintet of characters in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's four guys and a girl, isn't it?
Yes.
I think we're meant to relate to it. Us looking back, going, I remember when I was that age, as opposed to other 14, 15, 16-year-olds watching it going, that's just like me, because it's really not, because they were on Facebook and stuff.
Yes. None of them wearing hoodies
Anting.
Or none setting fires or anything.
They're off looting.
None of them are making models and painting them or doing activities and crafts.
It's Games Workshop, which is basically what we were doing.
Oh, yes. That's what all the ladies like.
Yeah, I wish I was that organised, though, as a kid, making my own films. I would have loved to. I wouldn't have had a clue.
Well, there was a lovely part of that, I thought, was the whole making the film thing. I was slightly annoyed that they didn't really come back to it at the end. They sort of left it. The film wasn't finished. They never really...
Well, no, because in the credits we see...
Do we?
You
see the film.
In the credits, you see the whole thing.
Oh, I'm going to go see it again
over the credits. Over probably three quarters of the credits, it is the entire film.
I left.
Which makes it one of the more watchable credit sequences.
All right, I'll take that bit back. Because I wanted to see at the end something resolution with what happened with the film.
You see that as their submission to the festival or whatever.
Yes, him giving an introduction.
Yeah.
We see.
Yeah, so it all ties in. But it is slightly odd to call it Super 8 when it's not like... You know, the kids are at the train crash because they're filming something. Mm. But I was expecting it slightly more to be, they see something on the footage, and that blows open the whole thing. And it's sort
That's a very, very small part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I even thought, now, I know this is completely wrong, so I can say this, but watching the trailer, because you don't quite know what's going on, and obviously there's this reference to the camera the whole time, I was even thinking that, is it going to be really Spielberg-esque and be about... Maybe the camera has an effect on people, like, you know, if they're wanting to create this wonderful film that the camera itself almost makes the events happen or something like that. That's the kind of line I thought, almost a bit Disney-esque, because you don't know where to place it. Turns out it's wrong. Completely wrong.
Sounds like a good idea for a film, though.
Maybe.
Just not this one.
Yeah,
you know, Super 9. Hey. Do this.
Super District 9, no.
Yeah. Maybe so. Yeah. Yeah, I think my problem with it, I did enjoy it at the time.
Yes, no, yes.
But I came away sort of feeling like the quartet of boys made me feel, it's like Stand By Me.
Mm.
Or there's some bits of, like we say, bits of E.T. in there, bits of, there's some J.J. Abrams-influenced Cloverfield-type stuff as well.
Absolutely,
there's different bits in there, but whenever those bits appeared, I thought, that's like from Stand By Me, but Stand By Me did it better. Or that's like... E.T., but E.T. did it better.
Yeah, there's not much that is its own, that feels like its own thing.
And doing it better than previously done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amalgamated it very well, but even there's a bit in a petrol station with the attendant listening to a Walkman, which is new in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's the same joke they did in Gross Point Blank, but did it better in Gross Point Blank.
Yes.
Just even that little element, I thought it's a best of, in a way. It's kind of a best of Spielberg, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, and it is very entertaining in its own, it's very entertaining to watch as an experience, but you won't come away thinking, Super 8 is the best example or anything.
It's quite a good 8.
Yeah.
Really
all right 8.
Yeah.
It's not Super Duper 8.
It's not Super Duper 8.
Mm. Magnificent 7.
Exactly. Famous 5, the Super 8.
Yeah. The thoroughly disappointing 12.
You wait for that.
Even these four characters, the four kids, I mean, like you say, you've got to try and relate to them, but they're not very well crafted. They're a bit clunky, a bit generic.
I'd be quite hard pushed to remember any of their character names.
But Spuggy.
Strangely Brown.
Piggy. No, that's Lord of the Flies, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's the slightly fat one, the cute one that looks like a deer.
You've got the pyromaniac.
And then the girl.
I'm sure there's another one as well.
Actually, I've only just now seen the link that we've got to the Inbetweeners movie. We've got coming, which is really about For Them and a Girl. You know, yeah. There's, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so characterisation is not the strong point.
Yeah,
but then there are bits of that, and you've got some of your loss, and so it does all hang together. It's all
quite higgledy-piggledy. Sort of, the trailers and the posters are saying it's the film of the summer, the knockout blockbuster, and I don't think it is. No. I think Harry Potter is probably more like the film of the summer in terms of that.
Well, I think that's personally just because of a lot of invested interest that you've already got with the Harry Potter.
Well, maybe, but I thought in terms of getting in, kind of a blockbuster should be kind of aimed at a teen or post-teen audience. And I felt Super 8 didn't do that, but Harry Potter did.
That's it. And I think just a couple of relationships that are brought up, they're kind of not very well... Again, just what you expect to see. Maybe I was just being hopeful, but I thought I saw relationships that weren't actually there. Mm. Yeah, you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I was also thinking about it. It just sounds like phantom relationships.
Well, no, but because you see, you know, a little bit of an emphasis this way, a little bit of a look that way, a couple of lines of dialogue, and you go, oh, I wonder. Oh, that would be interesting. That would be really quite wrong, but amazing. And then, no, that doesn't work either. So even when it gets into its own territory, it's just a little bit lackluster. Oh no, I didn't mean to say that. I enjoyed the film, but
I think
that's the thing.
I think everyone I know who's seen it enjoyed it, but with reservations. Yeah, there's always those reservations.
Didn't mean it.
We've had some reservations emailed in.
Have we?
I presume they're reservations. I don't know.
Please say
the Movie Banter restaurant opening soon in your area. Nick Tyler says Super 8 was fun. The train crash is spectacular. I'd agree with that. There was all sorts of senses. I thought it was very, very good. Sadly, it is hideously predictable and full of Spielberg schmaltz. It's like Cloverfield version of E.T. In fact, you can see it as a prequel to Cloverfield. It's a possible revenge motive. Anyway, there's other stuff there.
I can see that. There is an element of that to it.
Hmm. Filmwatcher 17.
47.
17 plus 30. Says, I thought Super 8 is one of the best movies of the year. It's deep and profound while being about innocent... Innocence. Oh, yeah, innocent people.
If that was a tweet, it wouldn't have fitted.
Yeah. Congrats on the century.
And Matt Rowbottom. says, I love most of Super 8. Great retro feel to the movie that truly harks back to the teen-driven sci-fi flicks of the late 70s and 80s. However, a little overkill in the CG at times that broke the retro feel, and the train crash scene was too long and too CG.
I'm
not sure about that.
You're wrong!
I disagree. I was laughing rather than sitting in awe of it. Oh, no, I think it was. I was feeling probably terrified. Anyway, if only they had stuck with the retro feel, still worth recommending this film.
I think it definitely is worth recommending.
Just don't go in with massive expectations.
It's not going to be E.T., and it's not going to be Cloverfield, but then again, they are pretty high, you know.
High watermarks. But then when these directors are involved, then that's what you want. That's what you want.
Maybe they're both being too polite with each other.
JJ.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, fair play.
So,
should we move on to the next?
Similar,
the modern equivalent of four teenagers and a girl, but much less innocent.
Okay. Yes,
much less...
Age of Innocence is gone.
Much less PG language, put it that way.
Okay.
In the Inbetweeners movie.
Hey.
Is it the Inbetweeners movie or the Inbetweeners film? I'm not entirely sure. It should be the Inbetweeners film, being British.
Yes.
But
I think it's the Inbetweeners movie. Which I will be seeing this afternoon.
Would you like to review it in advance then?
It's going to be great.
I've got moderate anticipation.
I think there's a simple question, really, which will tell you if you'll enjoy it. Do you like the TV series?
Yep.
Then you'll probably enjoy it.
Fair enough.
There you go.
And is it just the TV series but more?
Pretty much, yeah.
I have heard that people say that the TV series was, you know, it was nice and small and very well observed, whereas this is having to go all out and therefore is a little bit more...
Well, it does have that thing that's, you know, they go overseas. It's the Inbetweeners go on holiday, which was a bit like the Are You Being Served movie in the 70s, or a bit like Kevin and Perry Go Large, or
Ali
G in the House. I mean, any sort of TV, it's the obvious go-to thing is, we'll go on holiday, and therefore it'll last 90 minutes and be hilarious. And often that isn't the case. I think with the Inbetweeners, it fits better.
Because they've just finished school,
and they would go on holiday.
We should set the premise really because any overseas people, because it's very popular British TV series, which may have gone elsewhere.
It's been sold a few. There's an American version.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's on its way.
Yeah. Which is, but it's essentially for late teen kids at school.
It's that age, you know, when you're still a child trying to be, to be an adult.
So think of American Pie type stuff.
Really. Yeah, pretty much. And so, but it was a British level of embarrassment and restraint.
On part of one of them, I'd imagine.
Well, yes.
The other three, not so much.
Yeah, less so. But all rubbish, or socially inept, or stupid, to their own, in fairly unique ways. They're all noticeably different characters. And the hijinks that they get up to at school. And this is them transplanted on holiday. But now, is it Kevin and Perry Go Large?
Yeah.
It's not.
Good.
It's
Yay!
Will, J, Simon and Neil Go Large.
Well,
oh.
There you go. I think, to be honest, it wasn't for me. Right. In that I'm not a big fan of the TV series. I've tried, and I can see why other people like it. But I think it is, it's a coarse film. It's quite, a lot of the language is very, particularly from the character Jay.
Yes.
Very misogynist.
But then in the show it always was.
Well, exactly. So that's why I didn't really, that's why I kind of don't get that. The show's a bit much, I think, in terms of all that. And I know the laugh is kind of at his expense a bit. But also, it does, the audience were laughing along with it. And it did make me feel, I went to this in the cinema, which was pretty much full.
Yeah.
And a lot of, I heard more laughter in that screen than I've heard from a lot of films. And I think I laughed out loud twice, I think. Right. Okay. Which is not bad for me.
No, for you
it's
not bad.
Given that a lifetime of comedy is ground down your
there's
spirit.
There's a very funny dance moment, and also, I won't say, because you're going to go and see it.
Yeah, okay.
£50, that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Watch it here. £50. Anyway, I laughed at those things, and everyone else was laughing, and a lot more. People were laughing at every other line. They were really going for it. And it's got its fans.
Yes.
But I just was wondering if everyone there watching it is laughing at it because you go, oh, that character, he's a silly character in the way he slags off women and treats them as objects.
Mm.
Or if they're kind of, it's the old Al Murray,
I think that too.
Alf Garnett thing of going, exactly, finally, sticking it to the women, exactly, you know. So it's a little bit like that. I find it's a little bit uncomfortable, some of those bits.
Yeah.
Because really, of the four of them, there's Will, who's the main guy, played by Simon Bird, who was at school with us.
Yes.
And he's, I think,
many
is the
years
I think he's the reason I like the show, and a lot of people like the show. Yeah. He kind of grounds it in sort of nerdy reality. But the other three are all just arses, really.
Even Simon?
Simon's all right. Sorry, Simon. He's okay. He's just the romantic.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's definitely sort of down the scale.
But
of
Jay and Neil, there's a couple of times that I nearly walked out with things that Neil was like. It's just a bit. Some bits are a little bit.
Now Neil's slightly near the edge. Less bright.
Yeah,
there's a lanky.
But doesn't he have sort of like an air of innocence about him, like almost like in Four Lines? You know, doesn't it have that kind of?
There's a bit of innocence, but I think in terms of what he gets up to and the way it's just portrayed.
Okay. All right. Well, wow. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, he's in the trailer, sort of beckoning guys outside a club and saying, "Can one of you come with me? I think she's a two-man job." And
it's stuff like that.
He's not that innocent. So,
it's that sort of area. So I kind of thought it was, I can see why people like it. But it's really, if you like the TV show, you'll like this. But of course, people overseas who may not know the TV show, their first encounter may be this film. So I think that,
that's
why it's worth reviewing rather than just saying,
Did you like the TV show?
Not really.
Okay.
With reservations. I did like some parts of it. And in the same way, I liked some parts of the film.
Yeah, because I haven't seen all the series or anything.
Yeah.
So.
All I would say, though, is that the going on holiday thing works, I think, better in this than it has in previous TV adaptations.
That's at least
that's something.
A good start.
But in terms of, whether it's the whole film, I don't really know.
No.
We've had a comment, haven't we, from Will Porteous, who says, "The Inbetweeners movie is pure toilet. Do not waste your money, unless, of course, you like childish jokes for around an hour and a half with an utterly unbelievable romance plot. £9.80 for that."
Okay.
I quite like childish jokes around.
I think you didn't like it.
Well, yeah.
I don't think that's a fan, no.
Yeah, no, not really. So,
it's a very elegant way of saying it's pure toilet.
Pure toilet.
Well, I think that's quite good.
I do think, though, you're not going to go and see it unless you like the TV show. Really.
Yeah.
Unless, it's someone overseas who doesn't know the TV.
No, but I'll be interested to see how it does worldwide or wherever it gets released. Next up, we have Horrible Bosses.
Hey! Different sort of comedy? Black comedy?
It's not all that black. I mean, the comedy.
Slightly navy blue comedy. Navy blue. I wouldn't say it's that black.
No, I mean, it's not very bad things level of, hey, he's in a wheelchair, let's laugh at him.
Yes.
And also, because it's too. It's too sort of kindly spirited, really, to be a black comedy. Mm. It's far too capery.
It's got Jason Bateman in it. It can't be that bad.
Well, very true. but I mean, the basic. It's kind of. Is it Strangers on a Train? The yes. idea of two oh, strangers yes, who yeah. meet each other and yeah, they have yeah. to murder each other's people. Yeah,
I've not seen that.
Well, I mean, I think they do reference it, or at least indirectly, in this, because the premise is each three main characters have all got hideous bosses who are ruining their lives in a variety of different ways, and all. I mean, not just sort of, oh, he's a bit of an arse. I mean, they're all really genuinely terrible people. And so they eventually get to the point where they're like, right, I think I'd murder my boss. Would you murder him? No, not really. And out of this comes the plan.
I couldn't do it.
No, it's a bit then, like... Then they reach a point.
A bit like last week, we were talking about Uday Hussein's body double. Yeah, he had a horrible boss as well.
Yes. That's the pinnacle of horrible bosses. and eventually they get to a point where they actually, I think I could. I think he deserves to die. So they work out a plan whereby they will murder each other's bosses to avoid pinning the blame on each other. And so they sort of have to scout out and see what's going on. And it all unfolds from there, really, and goes right or wrong in a variety of, sometimes slightly unpredictable ways.
Yeah.
It's a very fun film, really. It gives him, more than most other films I've seen in a long time, you get the impression that the three, it's Jason Bateman, Jason Sudeikis, who I've seen in stuff, but not really famously, and Charlie Day, who hasn't been in that much stuff, but is in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Anyone's seen that.
Yeah.
And he's very good. They're all very good. And the three of them just seem like they're having a great time making it.
Yes.
They're just, dicking around and just playing off each other and... Yeah.
You can definitely see in a couple of scenes them trying not to laugh. And it's good. It's like when actors go wrong on stage, you kind of go, well, that was funny. And you see it in their eyes that they are about to freeze up.
But without being not too sort of frat pack and like a little bit too laddie and in-jokey, it all stays in character. But they're playing three friends who've known each other for years, and it's believable that that's what they're like. And Charlie Day sort of playing, is relatively normal, but slowly gets wound up more and more and goes a little bit hyper, which is what he does in Always Sunny, but very well. And the bosses are all genuinely hideous. You've got Kevin Spacey, who's possibly the worst of them, because he's actively
undermining. Well, he did that same character in Swimming with Sharks years ago, but that was a drama, not a comedy, right. But very similar evil boss kind of stuff.
And Jennifer Aniston is just as a sexually ruthless... dentist who Charlie Day works for.
She's ruthless. Dentist.
It's a weird description. A total dentist.
Basically, she's insatiable. But,
yeah, she's always had her sights set on him.
Well, I imagine just a bit of a nasty person, the fact that she will not take no for an answer, and because no is the answer, it's more of a challenge, and because she has the power, she probably doesn't even really fancy him, he just wants to ruin his life.
Yeah. And then Colin Farrell, almost unrecognisable, just being balding with a goatee.
To be honest, this is my only drawback with the film, is that even though I'm sure Colin Farrell can be a rather hideous person at times, I just didn't believe the prosthetic head and stuff like that. I think he could have been... I think the other parts of his character, brilliant, but that the wig line, I'm sorry, special effects, but it really wasn't good enough. You could see it all the way through, and you're there going, well, it just becomes a bit of theatre then, and I was really enjoying the film, and then when
That didn't register with me whatsoever.
Oh, no, I saw it, it was just you looking at it going, yeah, I can definitely see his hair.
But he probably gets the least screen time of anyone. Yes, sir. Anyway. Moving on, because most of it is sort of they're viewing him from afar and like break into his house and find cocaine and then stuff goes wrong there. So it is kind of just a slightly crime capery, but also
it sounds like the Ealing comedies sort of
a little bit,
like the Lady Killers, and Randall Marble,
but it's just, and I can't think of any good lines from single lines from it, but it was consistently funny and very watchable and likable. I don't know what else I can say.
Very good film, actually. Like, really good romp. It's a romp.
Pure Nick comedy. Tyler says, Horrible Bosses was fun. Rarely laugh out loud, but the rapport between the three leads makes it far better and funnier. Aniston and Farrell are horrible.
Yeah. So I don't know if that means he hated their performances, or if they
the characters are horrible.
Yeah. Probably the performances. I quite liked it, Jennifer Aniston, actually, because she's playing against type a bit.
Yes.
And also gets almost naked quite a lot.
She looks amazing.
She really does.
She looks absolutely amazing. She's going backwards.
Yeah.
She's going backwards.
Yeah.
Like aging wise.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right. just in the film, just walks on nearly naked, just walks backwards for a bit.
Yeah. But actually, in fact, Desert Island Flicks decided to go for.
Oh, what are we doing again?
Best Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, best Jennifer Aniston film. Yes, yes, the Janiston. You can buy that from a pharmacy, can't you? Get a pack of Janiston.
Janiston Gumby.
That is so wrong.
Is that wrong?
That is just awful.
Anyway.
She's rich enough.
Yeah,
sue us.
She can take it.
A challenge. I lay down the gauntlet.
No, we don't mean it. We don't mean it.
Oh, that's a good point. We can't have both of them. Exactly. You can take one of them.
Your child needs to go to university.
Sorry. Anyway. Should we move on to the final film?
We
have some emails we may get to afterwards.
Which we've not seen.
The Tree of Life. It's the Tree of Life. Now, Elton John's going to sue us as well. Now, this is, I think a couple of weeks ago we reviewed a film called Life in a Day.
Yes.
Which you weren't here for, Jane. It was a very good film, documentary, Life in a Day. Very good film, recommended. Out on DVD in a month. Tree of Life, then there's lots of films with life or the things of life and things of trees. And The Tree of Life sounds a bit like the film The Fountain, which was out a few years ago, Darren Aronofsky, which I hated with an absolute passion.
Yeah, and I still have recorded and want to watch just to see if I'll agree or not.
Please hate it as well.
David Schindler's List and that'll sound like fun.
I'll kill myself.
Tree of Life, then I kind of thought, it sounds a bit like The Fountain, but it can't be, surely. It can't be that. Nothing is that awful. Tree of Life is that awful. It's Terrence Malick directed it, who did Badlands in the 70s, Martin Sheen and 60s Spacek, and Thin Red Line about 15 years ago, war film, focusing more on the flowers than on the wars, very interesting, on the bugs and things. Interesting, good film, and you know, I quite enjoyed it, but very artistic and very unusual, very different. But he only seems to make a film every about 10 years. And I think whatever he's doing in the rest of that time, he should do more of that, I think, really, would be good. You know, with pottery or just researching other films, just whatever. Just you spend even longer, Terrence, because The Tree of Life is awful. It's meant to be about. It's Brad Pitt and Sean Penn are in it. It's a good cast. And there's a family tragedy and a very sort of private crisis type of thing. And there's some jumping around in present day and, you know, back in the past.
This is sounding good, Paul.
So that bit's okay. Yeah. That was the pitch. I thought, fine. But then, clearly the director at some point thought, okay, well, I want to show the origins of what's behind this, you know, this family tragedy.
Okay.
And so he goes back to the dawn of time. And we see the Big Bang. And volcanoes for about 10 minutes.
Right.
And then we see some dinosaurs for about 15 minutes. And then it goes on. And we just see evolution. But not in a quick kind of like, ooh, and bang, bang, bang.
So real-time
but
evolution.
For about real-time evolution, pretty much. Even slower than we've normally experienced it. And that's the bulk of the film, really. And then at the end of it, there's up-to-date with the Sean Penn and Brad Pitt. But even when we get back with them again, it's very slow. And it's kind of like the Eddie Izzard routine of walk into a room and moving a matchstick, and Giles, you've moved a matchstick, yes. And lots of long, painful, slow silences of where nothing really happens, apart from the odd dinosaur occasionally.
Still,
but not in a good
way. Dinosaurs have sold it to me. I actually quite want to see it.
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, don't put your face
on. Awful.
You need your face on your face.
It's awful. It's awful. It's so bad.
He's changed colour.
It's so bad.
I wish we'd reviewed this earlier because that's so begging bad. To be a poster.
But even if you look at the film, which the bits of the film which are like about, you know, the actual characters and Brad Pitt and his wife. Brad Pitt's meant to be this kind of removed sort of father. His wife is, I can't remember, but she's tipped as this new hot actress in Hollywood because of this film they sort of make her. And she's this kind of airy, floaty, hippie, lovely mother kind of. Painted as this sort of thing, and it's, I'm sure Terrence Malick is painting onto the screen here his actual relationship with his own lovely mother who's ethereal and hippie and lovely, and his father who's removed and distant, and I'm going to tell him via this film and dinosaurs, and it's just so annoying, it's so awful.
So just indulgent?
Yeah, it's indulgent, it's just him thinking I want to, this is what I'm going to do, I can do this because I'm Terrence Malick and they will come, and unfortunately I did, but I won't next time. I've learned my
10
lesson.
Years from now when his new film lessons. Comes out.
Do you know what? I'd actually like to see this, but I think I will wait until it's rental.
Yeah,
in that
I don't
case.
Want to pay money.
Yeah, don't pay money. Well, yeah. It's too late. It's gone out of the cinemas because no one saw it. Well, those who did see it walked out. And well, in fact, Sarah Hendricks did like it. He's one of the few, the gifted few, who saw something that I didn't. Had the 3D glasses, which are programmed onto make bad films better.
Uh-huh.
And she says, Tree of Life, very pretty to watch. Oh, you're meant to be doing the female voices. I promised you I'd do the female voices.
You can do the next one.
You can take over.
Oh,
no. Can we just shut off?
Screen's blacked out.
Okay.
Sarah says, Tree of Life, very pretty to watch. Not a clue what it was about, but it made me cry. Oh, so it's just the film.
Sarah clearly liked it.
Other opinions are available. Very pretty to watch, but it made me cry. That could be a mixed response, actually, couldn't it?
I think it is very artistic. You may get something artistic.
Actually, because also the butt made me cry. It makes it sound like it was so bad it made me cry. If it's a very pretty to watch and it made me cry,
that would sound more like cumulative goodness.
Yeah.
But and we have, you know, Alex Yule and her boyfriend Matt have both been in touch. Because I chased up, I wanted some further information. So Alex and Matt have both told me their opinions on this, which I think similarly match myself and my wife Zoe when we went to see The Fountain.
Right.
I think it's echoed, really.
Right.
Just give a little teaser as to where this may be going. Would you like to be the voice of Alex?
Okay. It starts off with going, all I'm going to say is dinosaurs? I've been trying to analyse the meaning of it ever since. Four people walked out when we went and don't think they even got to the dinosaurs. My boyfriend muttered in my ear that it was the worst film he'd ever seen after about 30 minutes, and I felt bad that I'd chosen it and was determined not to walk out and was convinced it would all become clear.
Yeah. Oh dear.
And Matt's opinion of it was 2 hours of 18 minutes of my life I'll never get back. Girlfriend banned from picking movies till further notice. I'm not trusting Rotten Tomatoes in future either, although the rating did drop as time went on when more consumer reviews were added. I've never seen such a rush for the exit when the credits rolled, followed by confusion in the foyer afterwards as everyone tried to work out what it was all about.
A ringing endorsement.
To be honest, it sounds like this film just shouldn't necessarily be in mainstream cinema, but it maybe should be shown in a gallery, perhaps.
It should be an art house, a fart house. It should really just be.
Hang on. Now, because I'm a bit arty, and I do quite like film
art. A bit arty? We're recording this with microphones sellotaped to an easel.
That's a very good point.
That's more than a bit arty.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe underplaying that a little bit. But I, you know, there's some very good artwork that is a film, but it's not a movie. Do you think this is just in the wrong place?
Well, yeah, maybe. It shouldn't be in a cinema. I don't think it should be in a gallery. I don't think it should be good art.
People go to galleries, they might see it by mistake.
The dinosaur effects are very good. I mean, they're sort of, you know, kind of Jurassic Park.
So in my head, I've just got like sort of like 1930s Godzilla. Just
no, it's
two little finger puppets.
I kind of imagine him in the pitch to the studio. They're going, and then the dinosaur comes in. Hang on, Terrence, Terry, love. Now, wasn't this a film? A minute ago, Brad Pitt was mourning, and now suddenly, why?
But yeah, okay.
Guaranteed.
Couldn't have said it better. Does that announce the end?
I'm finished. I'm done with Tree of Life.
Okay.
I'm done with life, thanks to that film.
Life and trees.
And trees. Forget them. Forget them both. Good. That's the lot. We did have some emails, but we're out of time, so I think we'll come back to the emails another time. So thank you for your emails. Yes. We will get to them next time.
Yes, we do podcast at moviebanter.co.uk, and they do get sent in. We get them stored up, so send them in, and we will read them out. Tweet us at Movie Banter and Facebook.
Yes. That's where we are. Find us.
Okay.
Finally, best Janiston film.
Oh, yes.
To wrap up. Do you know what? I mean, I know I'm a girl, but I haven't actually.
Hold the phone.
Where's all this
I know. I prove it. You know. No. but I'm actually going to. I mean, I know there's quite a lot of great things out there, but the first thing that popped into my head, just because I really, really enjoyed it, was Bruce Almighty.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know! I should have gone for something really soppy.
That frees
up
the good films for us. That's fine.
So, you know, I might change my mind when I have a look at some other stuff.
It's been slightly tainted by Evan Almighty, but Bruce Almighty was good. I mean,
it was fun. It was fun.
It was a better premise. See, now I'm taught because Object of My Affection, I have a lot of time.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
that
it's almost rom-com, but it's not really a rom-com.
No, rom-dram.
Yeah, rom-dram. Just checking out the options. See, he's not just that into you, or just not that I liked. But I'm going to have to go with Office Space.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good film.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. Yeah, there's actually quite a few more than... I mean, there's Marley and May. Marley. Aww. Poor Marley.
I'm going to be reviewing that. Yeah.
I cried. But it's not a good film. There's Along Came Polly, I quite enjoyed.
Yeah,
a few others did. It says that she was the voice in The Iron Giant, which is great.
That's probably one of the most critically well-received films. Although The Good Girl, she did.
But I was going to say The Good Girl is her best, I think, on-screen performance.
It's always kind of the touchstone for critics to say, why isn't she doing more of those?
Exactly, yeah. And she said in interviews for the horrible Yes. Hurribut buses. Hurribut buses. Yes, she was asked the question about, you know, why not more films like The Good Girl? And she sort of said, well, I'm just waiting for the scripts to come in, sort of thing. But equally, she, in the meanwhile, she's going, yeah, but I'm being paid a fortune for being in this not-so-good rom-com, well, so I'll do this, you know.
And I can understand, And also, that's probably mostly the scripts you get.
And she is an actress. She wants to act, and, okay, might not be first, you know, might not be busy. Hamlet all the time.
Pays the bills, doesn't it? You know.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
bless your cotton.
Jason Bateman actually talked about typecasting. In The Change-Up, which is out soon-ish.
Oh, yeah, it looks quite good.
Reviews of that are a bit critical. I think I was reading someone was talking about The Bad Teacher, saying it was the first wave of this summer's sort of adult comedies. And it has done very well at the box office, probably because it was the first, despite not being the best. And they said The Change-Up is actually better than it.
Right.
But then some critics are a bit slagging off. But Jason Bateman said that it's quite nice for him to, because he's basically playing Ryan Reynolds' character the whole way through, and he's being quite laddish and blokish and a bit coarse and foul-mouthed. That it makes kind of a nice change, because he normally gets the Michael Bluth,
of course,
sort of
staid,
normal, straight man types, which he enjoys doing, he's good at, and you know, people are used to seeing as that. But yeah, just, he said he hoped that after seeing this film, he might get a bit more different stuff.
Mm.
So we'll see.
Yeah, so there we go. So
there you go.
Well, that'll do for now. I've settled on the Iron Giant with my choice, by the way.
Fair enough.
I just wanted, in case anyone's thinking, but which one did he choose?
Oh, with Vin Diesel as the voice of the Iron Giant.
I'm going off that. Right, yeah. Good girl.
No.
Vin lost it for me. Sorry, Vinny.
No, it was good.
Well, maybe they can be both last. My second choice would be Iron Giant.
Okay,
so if your second choice would be Iron Giant, then that's almost like...
It's an honorary.
An honorary.
That could be Gemma Arterton's vote for the Iron Giant. What a way to finish it.
Anyway, I think it's the loss. Still works.
But that won't be here next week.
But yes, have a good couple of weeks.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
Bye.
In the future. He's going, bye.
He's starting to go, bye. What, he's still talking? A bit rude, really.
I know,
bye. Yeah, John, bye. That's it. All right, yeah, no, exactly. Have a
bye.
Good
bye. Yeah, not great, is it? How does that feel? How does that taste, y'all?
Goodbye, everyone. Yeah. See you next time. Well, see you. Are we?